Good morning, good morning, good morning. I seem to have a thing where I want to say that a lot this morning. Good morning. Oh, it's been quite a number of weeks. We celebrate Easter down in Spanish Fork with my family, and so we were not here for last Sunday, and the Sunday before that, I believe I had to work. Right now, I'm doing two jobs. Technically, I'm doing three jobs. I am teaching at my kids' school, and I'm also doing the job that I've had for quite a long time. So I'm finding myself working on weekends because I'm thanking God and praying that the Lord opens up a door for me to have a job at Summit. So I'm quite thankful for that, and I could use your prayers. But in the last 6 weeks, Heather and I have known 12 people to go to heaven. And in 6 weeks, 12 people that were very close, three of them have taken their own lives. And that is something that I have such a hard time with because I know that they were hurting. The others were sicknesses and diseases and others that we didn't even know why. I've been asking God ever since Pastor D asked me, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? Lord, what do you want me to bring? Lord, what do you want me to share? Lord, what's your word? Today, we're going to talk about relationships and we're going to talk about people. We're going to talk about what God has asked us to do with relationships, relationship with Him, relationship with people. And how do we, what do we really know about all of this? I mean, we all grow up, I can't say we, I apologize for that. I didn't grow up in a biblical family. I didn't. I grew up with a father that didn't believe in God, that blamed, now this part makes me laugh, blamed God for everything but didn't believe in God. I don't know if you all know anybody like that, but I think that that's kind of contradictory and hysterical at the same time. How can you blame somebody that you don't believe in or something that you don't believe in? You want to know how you believe in God? Get mad at him. Get mad at him. How are you mad? How am I mad at Kelsey here if I don't know her? How am I upset with Kay if I don't know her? If you don't know somebody, then how can you be mad with them? How can you be upset? How can you be disappointed? How can you be frustrated? At the same time, how can you love? How can you give? Today, I stand here with a very heavy and sad heart. To be very honest, it's been some trying times. And the thing is that's got me through this is that my foundation in Christ, my foundation in God, and my foundation in the Holy Spirit. And honestly, I'm here to give you the testimony that if you do not have God to be able to depend on that, if you do not have God to be able to stand on that rock and know, it's a very sad and scary place to be. If you stop and think and go, I don't know. We were at my cousin's funeral. And his dad said he took his own life. He was 18 years old. His name's Peyton Wood. He had several things going for him. He took MATC classes for the last two summers. He was going to graduate high school this year. Beautiful young man. Just beautiful young man. And he was at a party one night during spring break. And he was disappointed in several things. And he felt like he was a disappointment to his family. He did not want to go on his mission. His two brothers before him have gone on very successful missions, and he did not want to go on a mission. He didn't want to do it. And Peyton comes from five brothers, five including him. And he was described, I would describe Peyton as just the most amazing, beautiful man, but he definitely was the beat of his own drum. And he was so giving, really quiet, really giving, really loving. Asked a ton of questions, loved cars, but he made an emotional decision. And for whatever reason that Peyton made that emotional decision makes my heart sad. Makes my heart sad because it's not about me, but it's about the people who could have been there for him. I could have possibly. You could have possibly. My friend Kelsey Wood and I have a coworker and a very good friend who just took her life 2 days ago. She was an amazing, amazing lady. Her name is Lizzie Barnum. And I'm not here to tell you these sad sad stories because I want you to walk away with sadness. She was a lady who gave everything. Joshua was very close to her son, Jonah. Kelsey and I worked with her, and my cute, adorable friend Kelsey is a teacher also, and she had her youngest daughter. But I also have spent a lot of time with Lizzie, and we worked together, and we played together, and helped her and her husband move into different places. And it's a relationship, you know? That's what it is. But I'm not talking about sad things and death for the purpose to make anybody sad. I'm talking about it because we can be active and proactive, just like Heather was talking about giving. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to take a biblical perspective in what does God have in relationships? What does God have? I'm sad, and I'm sad for the families. I know that God is going to give me the opportunity to be a blessing somehow, some way, because I'm asking, and I will continue to ask these families, what can I do? And again, it's not about me. It's about what God has given us. God has given us an opportunity. God has given us for us to be blessings. God has given us the places and the responsibility to be His love, to be His feet, to be His hands, to be that hug, to be that smile, to beat that depression, to beat that frustration or that humility or that anger or somebody that keeps themselves in their past. I know the Lord has a word for every single one of you today. I do. I know that. That's a bold statement, but it's true. I know that God has a word for every one of you today because we've all been in those places where we're hurting for somebody that we lost or we're hurting because we feel lost. In the scriptures today, I wonder what our world would be like if each of us would find somebody to be good to every day. What would our city be like? What would our offices be like? What would our home be like? What would our schools be like if we made it a priority to brighten somebody else's day? Scripture teaches us every opportunity that we have, we should do good to people. Galatians 6:10. That means we need to be on the lookout. We need to be proactive. We need to have the mindset of who can I be a blessing today? For whom can I give a favor today? You can just sit back and wait for the need to come to you. You don't always have to go after that. If you watch people, we were in the grocery store yesterday while I was working, and this gal dropped all these coupons all over the floor. And I turned to the kids and I said, guys, can you help her pick them up? And the kids are all scrambling to pick up the coupons for this lady. And this lady turns and looks at me and says, you have a rare gift. And I said, I do. I know that I do. I know that I am blessed. And she said, you are so blessed. Because they simply picked up coupons for a lady whose coupon envelope exploded. That's it. And that blessed her heart so much. I can pick up coupons. Anybody else can pick up coupons on a floor? Okay, what other simple tasks is there that God puts us right before us and we don't even see it? When we're walking down the hallway at school, I smile at every kid that I can. I don't know what their home life is like. I don't know what kind of day they're having. I don't even know right education-wise. I work with special education. I deal with every grade up to junior high. And I can tell you that I have some sixth graders that are on a second grade level, and they beat themselves up for it because they have so much peer pressure. What do we have as an adult? What do we have at our workplace? What do we place on ourselves? What's the kindness that we can give to ourselves? What's the blessings that we can also give to ourselves? Let yourself off for the past. It's a history. Let yourself go and say, I forgive me for choosing that. Lord, help me to forgive me, to forgive myself. Let yourself be human enough to make a mistake, but be God's child enough to forgive yourself, to say, I'm a king's kid. I'm a child of the Most High God, and I know He forgave me. I need to forgive me. Kindness just doesn't happen. We have to put it into action. Kindness just doesn't happen for ourselves. We have to choose it. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. So if we want to get down to it, if God gave us Jesus Christ to have a relationship with us, to go that far, to have a personal, intimate relationship, that he would give his son to be on a cross and to go through all the things that we just celebrated Easter for those nails to go through his arms, for those nails to go through his feet, for those whips. Does anybody really know what's in those cat o' nine tails? They're leather straps. They have rock, glass, seashells woven into them. There are nine tails, all different lengths. So some are short, but they are designed to grab your flesh and pull it off. So our Bible tells us that he was beaten so much that he was beaten beyond the recognize of a man. So if Jesus Christ has taken this and God has said, in simple words, J.D.'s paraphrase, I give you my son, and these are the sacrifices he made for me to have a relationship with you. So God has now built a bridge. There was nothing here, okay? So nothing here. God has built a bridge, and God is walking, and God says, hello, Kayleen. I love you, my daughter. I love you with all of my heart, and I have given my son so we can have a relationship to pass all things. That bridge is Jesus Christ. So what do we do with the gift that has been given to us on that cross? With the relationship that God has asked to have with us? It's not muddled. He just simply says, Richard, you're my son. I'd like you to get to know me and me to get to know you. It's not about the rules. It's not about the regulations. Now, does God have things that we need to pay attention to? Yes, he does. When you think of religion, what comes to your mind? A set of rules and regulations? Or do you think about a deep, intimate relationship with God? I like to consider myself someone who has a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I believe he died so that we could have a living, vital relationship with God, not just a bunch of rules and regulations that we're forced to follow. I can tell you from being a parent, when you tell your child no, they're defiant. I can tell you from being a school teacher, when you tell a child or a teenager or a college child, I did say college child, no, there's defiant. When you put a rule up and they don't understand the rule and you explain the rule, and I can tell you this from a 9-year or a 10-year-old perspective. He's 10 now. I can tell you from a 10-year-old perspective that he will push that, and he will ask, and he will ask, and he will ask, and he will ask a million times why that rule exists. Are we any different? I mean, honestly, we might go about it a different way. Again, I'm going to go back to the forgiving of ourselves. Well, why would you want to forgive me, Lord? Why would you want to forgive me? Do you know what I've done? Yes. He absolutely knows what you've done. And he still stands and says, I love you. A couple of months ago, I had asked my son to do something so many times that, yes, honestly, I am the human that lost it and said, because I said so! Don't ask another reason why. Don't ask again. Get in your room. I'm done. My patience is gone. Okay, I'm going to just tell you, pastors and ministers are very human. We are very, very, very human. We have an absolute, incredible love for the gospel and to preach and to teach and to evangelize and all of that. But we are still back to human, okay? So I did. I lost it, and I'm going to tell you that that's not the only time within those last 2 months that I've lost it, because I have patience, 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 and then, you know, and I'm working on it. God and I are working on it together. But we do the same thing in a certain different way. I think about Peyton, and I think about Lizzie, and I think, what were they holding? What were they not willing to let go of? What were they not willing to lay down at the foot of the cross and say, God, I need help. Jesus, I need your forgiveness. Holy Spirit, remind me of God's love. Remind me that I am perfect in your eyes, that you know every breath I'm going to take, that you know every action I'm going to have, and that you know every time I'm going to say, please forgive me. In all honesty, I wish I knew. I wish I knew the hurting that they were going through. My cousin Paul passed away a couple weeks ago, way too young. He had diabetes, and he had kidney failure and some other things. And he is the baby of the family. So Jennifer and Kenny, his oldest siblings, reached out and said, how do you do it, losing your baby brother? How do you do that? I said, you do God. That's what you do. Because again, there are these things I cannot get through without the foundation of God, without Petra, the rock. There's no way that I would have peace. Who's ever heard of peace that passes all understanding? Peace that passes all understanding, the Bible says, it's where we're in the eye of the storm and everything is swirling around us and we have peace. And where does that peace come from? Peace comes from God. That we know everything's going to be okay. Am I sad? I am so sad. There have been times that I haven't done much this week. I mean, I've just focused on my work. Kindergartners make you smile in ways you didn't know you could smile. The relationship that we have with God will transit to all the relationships we have around. If we have relationships that build us up, we have relationships. Shelley and I, we don't get to see each other very often. We get to see each other here, to be honest. And I get to like her things on Facebook, and a lot of things make me laugh, but I also get to enjoy her pictures and the things that she's doing. Okay? But we don't have a relationship if we don't build upon it. Heather, my beautiful wife, we don't have a relationship if we don't build upon it. If we don't build our marriage relationship, we don't have one. If you do not build the relationships around you in a God manner, what do you have? What do you honestly have? The people that are around you, the people that support you, the people that love you, the people that need you or want to be around you, don't push them away. Sometimes it's hard. We all have different personalities. We do. I'm a very outgoing person, but I'm very private, and I get very nervous, and I get very shy. But I guarantee you, if you ask 90% of the people that know me, they'll say, JD's never shy. I am. I get very nervous. But I'm also a 5'1 and a half, and that half counts, 5'1 and a half adult that's going to be 50 years old in October. Yes, I am. And look at this beautiful Italian skin. 50 years old in October, and I will be the first one out there like a little kid on the trampoline. Why do you think Kelsey Wood and I are such good friends? Because she's little bit taller than me, and she's the first little kid out there with me. Why do you think we work with kindergartners in first grade? Kelsey's a first grade teacher. And yes, tying shoes and wiping noses and hearing little drama, and Carla won't play with me. But what do we get to give? What do we get to give to those kids? But what do we get to give those parents too? They're single parents. They're single dads, single moms, grandparents, aunts and uncles who didn't know that the situations were going to come around. But as teachers, we also get to uplift those parents. We get to be that for them. We get to be the love that God. We can, just like Heather was talking about, we can do this. Let me encourage you. Let me show you how we can be God's hands and feet, how we can be his forgiveness, we can be his love, we can be his patience, we can be his kindness, we can be his joy. We can. When we've gone to all of these funerals, what do we go for? We go to be a blessing to the other people. When I go to work, the kids and I have a prayer that we say every single morning. We put on God's armor. And then we thank God for the gifts that we get to be to others, that we are blessed, but we are a blessing. Lord, give us that opportunity to be that blessing, to be that hands and feet, to be the love, to be the forgiveness. Because we have that opportunity. And if you think, there's nothing I can do. I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot of gift and talent. I don't really like talking to people. It makes me nervous. A smile goes a long way. A smile goes so far. Because when somebody smiles at you, you smile back. It's kind of a contagious thing like that. When we have a relationship with God through Christ, life gets exciting because He stirs up a passion inside of us to love people. And let me tell you, I'm sure I'm the only one in this room. There are some people that God needs to stir up that passion inside of me for me to love them. I'm just going to be honest. I know that I am the only person in this room that feels like that, but that is very true. Okay, so I need God to stir that passion up for me to go, I love you. What can I do for you? And we don't have to struggle to do the things He calls us to do. It just happens naturally. If there's one thing people need to hear over and over again, it is this, that God loves you. God loves you right where you're at. And don't you let the enemy tell you anything different. Don't you let the enemy tell you, but you've done this, 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 and this. Have y'all ever heard of Paul? His name was Saul before his name was Paul. Let me tell you a little something about our brother Saul. Before he was our brother Paul, he took Christians and he did everything he could to, let's see, I'll make this a G-rated version. He knocked them off their horses, said, get out of here. Is that G-rated enough? He was horrible. He was deplorable and horrible. And he thought in his mind and in his heart, he was doing everything right. Did God not say to Saul, again, JD paraphrase, you're my son. I want to change your name to Paul and I want you to do mighty and great things for me. Did he not open up the doors for Paul to change a whole entire nation? And this is a man that was cursing him. This is a man who was killing any Christian. This is a man that was taking down anybody who had Christ thought or a Christ follower or a Christ believer or even an acquaintance. If somebody's going to take out Richard because we have a friendship, we're more than an acquaintance, but you know, somebody's going to take Richard out because he knows me. Not that I'm Christ. let me say that. Exactly. God is not impressed with all the works that we do, the fact that see me, see me. He's impressed with your heart. He's impressed with your heart. I believe the greatest thing God wants us to hear is, I love you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done in my life. I want to do what's right. Please keep teaching me. Please keep showing me. Many of us don't pray and ask God for what we need because we don't think we have a right to ask. But the Bible says God wants us to learn how to receive His mercy. Hebrews 4:15 says that we have a high priest, a perfect Savior who understands our weaknesses. He's been tempted just like we are, yet He never sinned. Verse 16 says we can come fearlessly and confidently before God in prayer to receive His mercy and to be forgiven. When we pray and I say, Father God, we come boldly before your throne room, that's right what I'm doing because I am a child of the Most High God. I am a king's kid and I am perfect in His sight. The things that we can change, the things that we can give to God, first we can give Him our sorrows, we can give Him our woulda, shoulda, couldas, we can give Him, I messed up, please forgive me. The next thing we can do is give that gift to ourselves. Be that opportunity for somebody else. Be that smile. Be that hug. Be that listening ear. Yes, you have to be somewhere in 10 minutes, but you can politely say, hey, I've got a minute or two. How are you? How are things going? It doesn't have to be 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes. Let people know that they're validated and feel loved and wanted and needed because they are validated, wanted, loved, and needed. We are Christ's shining example of love. And to be that for others, and it doesn't matter what relationship, religion, color of their skin, it doesn't matter. You know, I did this thesis in college, in Bible college. We had to do a thesis, and then we had to do examples of what was prominent in our on our heart for the world to change? What was going to make it, what in your opinion was going to make the world change? And I did on racism. So my whole display was, I had little cutouts of different nationalities and different colors of skin, and I had these all, and I set them all up in front of my classroom. And then on the outside, and it was a very long process. On the back of them, I drew all the inside, a skeleton, and then, you know, all the stuff here. And I drew this oversized, huge heart. And then I turned them over, and I asked everybody, college, this is Bible college. I said, everybody put their heads on their desk. See, I was destined to be a kindergarten teacher. I said, everybody put your head down on your desk. And I said it to the professor, too, and the professor just looked at me. I said, well, then turn around. So then I turned them all over. So all you saw was the skeleton and the big, huge heart. And I mixed them all up, and I said, everybody, open up your eyes and look. And I said, so could you please tell me who's who and from what nationality and what color of skin they had? And everybody looked, and they kept looking at each other and then looking at me and looking at each other and looking at me. And I said, well, why is there racism? Why? There should be no judgment of color, skin, race, anything. So I'm going to leave you with that. I'm going to pray. Father God, we boldly come to your throne room. We thank you, Father God, that you have created us individually, each, to be your hands and feet, to be the mouth that says love, that says forgiveness, that gives joy, that gives grace and mercy. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunities that you do have for us individually. And we thank you, Father God, that that relationship that you want with us is on an individual basis. That, Father God, you want us to know you so well, and that you want to know us, that you want to walk with us and talk with us and spend time with us. That, Father God, that you are interested in the things that we're interested in. And that, Lord, you love us so much that in the forgiveness of our sins, Father God, you don't want us to stay in that place of hurt and anger and despair. That, Father God, you said that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that when we find joy in you and peace in you, that our strength increases. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunities that you do have for us to be that for you, to be that for your door to be opened, Father God, and for them to see your love. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for the sacrifices that you have made, the sacrifices on the cross, the things that you remind us every day. I died for love. I rose for life, a life with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that no matter where we're at, that the whisperings that you give us and the unctions that you press us forward with, that, Father God, we don't go in our strength, that we go in the strength of you. We go in your joy. We thank you for that bridge that you have made for us through Jesus Christ to walk over that bridge, to become your sons and daughters. We thank you, Father God, that all of this is absolutely ours for the taking, and that the only thing that holds us back is ourselves. So we thank you, Father God, with your love and your patience and your guidance, your joy, your kindness and your strength, that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. We give you our lives and we give you this word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.